Am I a Mary or a Martha? How many of you have come away from today's gospel passage asking yourself this question, either today or another time? How many of you have heard, "Don't be a Martha," from a pulpit somewhere? Well, that's not what you're going to hear from this pulpit today. Why do we pit Mary and Martha against each other? We might say, well, Jesus says that Mary has chosen the better part. Obviously, Jesus is telling us to be like Mary. How do you hear the dialogue in this passage? Do you hear Martha's voice as angry, bitter? Or is her voice tired, overwhelmed? Similarly, do we hear Jesus' response as dismissive, judgmental? Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted, with a subtext of, you foolish woman. Or do we hear a gentle, encouraging voice? Do we hear a subtext of, don't worry, Martha, it'll be okay? Do we read into this that Jesus is excluding Martha from also choosing the better part? Think of the Jesus we know in and through the Gospels, through the whole of the New Testament. Is it likely that Jesus, who ate with tax collectors and sinners, who fixed his gaze on the margins, who cared for the most vulnerable, is it likely that he is judging and excluding Martha in this scene? I don't think so. It is much more likely that Jesus is encouraging Martha. It is much more likely that Jesus is saying, don't worry, Martha, the dishes can wait. Come and join us. Given Jesus' pushing of boundaries at other times, it could even be that he went and helped with the dishes later. We'll never know, but it could be. I'm grateful to Sarah Pentlow for pointing me to an episode of the Nomad podcast, a conversation with former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams. The episode is called Christianity After Certainty. I'll include a link in the newsletter this week. And in this podcast, Rowan Williams differentiates between faith and what he refers to as toxic religion. Toxic religion encourages certainty, whereas faith encourages continual growth and expansion, expansiveness. Faith maps a path of mystery, not mastery. He says, one of the tests for toxicity in religion is to ask, is this a practice, a way of living, a way of talking, whose cumulative effect is to make people feel less? Or is it a way of talking that allows them to expand into a space? This is a question worth asking ourselves every day. Does what I am doing or saying have the cumulative effect of making others, or me, feel less? Or is what I am doing or saying about expansion, about growth? Does what I am doing create openness and movement and room for the Spirit? Or am I closing myself and others off? I came across this definition of sin this week. Sin is that which diminishes the humanity of the other or my own humanity. Were Martha's words, her consternation at Mary, diminishing and dehumanizing? Maybe. Maybe Martha was resentful, or maybe she was exhausted and desperate. Both resentment and desperation can make us grasp for control. Both can make us seek to diminish. Perhaps Martha did want Mary to receive a divine rebuke. Yet Jesus doesn't do that. We don't have to hear his words to Martha as diminishing. As I've said, with the big picture of who and how Jesus was in mind, I think it's highly unlikely that his words were anything other than encouraging. Though it's not recorded in the passage, I can well imagine Jesus encouraging Martha not to serve out of obligation to gender. I can imagine him encouraging her not to feel that she was less than any of her brothers and sisters. I can imagine him encouraging her to come and sit with them. I can imagine him encouraging Martha not to diminish and not to be diminished. The idea that others have to be less so that we can be more runs deep in our humanity. The desire to feed our egos, to feel right and righteous, to feel certain and sure, runs deep. When God entered our time and space in Jesus, it was into a world with rigid boundaries and a deep sense of scarcity. There wasn't enough of anything to go around. There wasn't room for everyone to grow and thrive. Jesus came to show those who walked this earth with him, and he came to show us that it doesn't have to be this way. I mentioned Rowan Williams' assertion that faith is not about mastery, but about mystery. It's not about reaching a point where we say with great satisfaction, "Well, I've got it all figured out." It's not about feeling satisfied with a message in today's gospel that Mary is right and Martha is wrong, with pitting them against each other and being certain that we should all be like Mary. It is about mystery. It's about trusting that with God, nothing is impossible. It's about trusting that something more is just around the corner. It's about getting comfortable with not being certain and with being willing to shift our position, our perspective. It's about encountering and interacting with one another, not with rigid certainty, but with openness and love. It's about magnifying goodness and love in each other and in our world. Does Jesus encourage us to be present to him in our lives, to be aware of his presence connecting us to God? Yes. And Jesus knows our struggles, our worries, our distractions, and he holds those things with us. We are not meant to pat ourselves on the back, pleased with ourselves for making time to sit at the feet of Jesus in prayer. And neither are we meant to berate ourselves for becoming overwhelmed, worried, and distracted at times. We are not meant to compare ourselves to others and feel superior or inferior. Both have a diminishing effect. We are not meant to interact with each other with righteous indignation, certain that we are right and the other is wrong. This, too, has a diminishing effect. Following Jesus, apprenticing ourselves to him, if you will, means a commitment to movement and growth and change. It means a commitment to being aware of our words, our actions. It's a commitment to asking ourselves, not once, but continually, if our words and actions have a diminishing effect on ourselves, on others, on our world. Jesus shows us a God of love, not one of condemnation and judgment. Jesus shows us that God loves us and that God wants us to grow into our fullest selves. God came to us in Jesus to magnify, not diminish. May God's goodness and love be magnified in this place and in each of us here this morning. May that goodness and love uphold us when we leave this place, giving us the energy, the will, the desire not to diminish and not to be diminished as we face all the ups and downs, all the joys and sorrows of this world, this life. And so go. Don't worry about being a Mary or a Martha. Go and be followers of Jesus with a faith that magnifies in his name. Amen.